What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. I'm Tom. I've got Lotus with me as usual. We just had a big, I don't know, 15-minute conversation at the beginning of the show about what is the new surprise going to be that they're announcing for ESO, because they put out a big announcement today. They're doing a big event in Europe, in Amsterdam. Yep. For
to start with, in the 10th anniversary world tour.
Yeah, so there's all sorts of crazy stuff. What I think I'm going to do is actually take some of that conversation and kind of tack it on to the end of the episode. So if you're curious about that stuff and our take on it, then stick around. That'll be at the end of the episode. But this episode specifically is a continuation of our exploration of Daedric creatures. And we've got four new Daedra this week to talk about. And Lotus, we've got some weird ones. I mean, we always have some weird ones, but...
We do. We've got a couple weird ones that actually, if you're currently playing through year 9 of the Elder Scrolls Online, tie into Vermina a little bit, which is very relevant to the story. So that's an interesting little tidbit, because it's one of the weirder ones, which we'll be kicking off with. But it's kind of hard to not discuss Daedric stuff and have it be weird.
right. So here, let's just start this off. First of all, we have omens. And this is probably, I mean, this one and maybe the last one on our list this week, probably the two most interesting. This one's weird. These are weirdos here. I'm going to read from the UESP. This is our go-to source for a lot of the starting off content that we always add more stuff to later. But here's what the UESP says. Omens are powerful, malicious Daedra who seek to spread chaos on Nirn. Sounds par for the course so far, sure. Right?
Why not?
Yeah. They are among the most powerful minions of the Daedric Prince Vermina and can be found in her realm, Quagmire. Omens enter people's dreams to influence them, driving them to make decisions they would otherwise consider poor or objectionable, eating that extra piece of cake in the middle of the night.
Yes, or 11 of them.
Or 11 pieces of an entire sheet cake. Oh, that was talking about stomach aches.
Suddenly I'm feeling Perryite coming on.
No, that's how you summon Perryite. You eat a sheet cake on a summoning day. Their influence persists in the waking world, and an omen may whisper to its victim or torment them by showing them horrible visions or forcing them to relive their worst memories. An omen's victim may be driven to murder those they love, incite bloody conflict, or betray those close to them. They dwell in dreams and must be slain in their victim's dream in order to eject them from Nirn forever. So they're basically like Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, they're little mini Krugers.
Little mini Krugers with their little mini Krugers. Little sweatshirts with those little sweaters, the striped sweater with the little holes in it.
They all wear those. That's a requirement.
Yeah. The exact nature of omens is unknown. They can assume various shapes such as Watchers, Dremora, Wisp Mothers, as well as disguise themselves as mortals. Vermina named her mortal lover, get this, Galthus the Omen of 100 Prophecies. Although he was originally a Breton, he assumed the form of a monstrous monstrosity resembling a bone colossus.
Yep.
Despite being an omen, his nature was different from those who are proper Daedra. So you can't tell just by looking at any of these what they actually are, because they all look like something else.
Yeah, they're just like weird vision versions of things. So there's like no continuity to these. Like we usually describe kind of like, oh, it looks like this. This kind of is just like, hey, what's the thing that's nightmarish to this whatever?
So yeah.
And that's what you get. Like, so they can be all over the place.
Right. So what would the omen take shape in your dream as?
I really don't like mustard, so like maybe mustard.
Like a little bottle of mustard?
It's like a bottle of mustard, but it's perpetually just like pouring on food that I like and ruining it.
And it's got like a little face on it. It's like,
yeah.
Some more mustard?
Little, like, demon more mustard emoji notice? Thing from like an iPhone, I assume. That's its face. Yeah. Uh-huh. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I just really don't like mustard. I was going to say everybody's going to come for me that's like pro mustard in the comments, I assume. But yeah, it's not for me.
Mine would take the form of the kinds of people who write content creators messages, like direct messages that just say, hey. Oh.
Yeah,
because I have no idea how to respond to that. Like this happens all the time. Anybody out there who is a content creator has definitely gotten these before. It's really cool when people write you stuff, and it's especially cool when they say something like, "Hey, big fan of this specific show. I have a question for you." Blah 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 blah, and you're like, "Okay, cool. That's awesome. Let's talk about that." But when they just start as just "Hey," and then they don't say anything else.
Hey, no follow up. I was like, "Hello, robot friend. Who are you?"
Right. Right. It's like have we been writing each other? Are you checking in on me?
What I don't are you trying to sell
you
me.
You might feel like you know me, but I don't know you yet. So maybe tell me a little bit more. Like it's just kind of how it goes. That's my omen. The omen of hey.
Also in chat with Ghost Toadlet who joined and said hey.
Hey. Hey Ghost. Oh, and you can do it in chat because we're already like having a conversation. You're part of the conversation in chat, right? But when it's a direct message.
But
it's
different. No, when it's out of left field and it's just hey and no follow up. Right. I'm like
an email. You get an email and it just says, hey.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do?
Like, hello?
Hi. You just write back, what's up?
Yeah. Well, especially because nowadays you have so much like automated everything. And it's like, I don't want to spend 20 minutes talking to an automated nothing.
Right. I don't know if this is like, spam. I don't know what it is. And so my instinct is like, don't reply because who knows what's on the other side of that. When somebody might be very cool and like be awesome to talk to, but I'm never going to know because I'm not responding to, hey.
Because I don't want to accidentally. It's like, oh no, that was actually a person. Like,
yeah. Yeah. There's some more detail about these. Omens are weird. It goes on and says, among the most elusive of these omens is the omen of deception, whose true name, which of course can give power over Daedra and that kind of thing, is...
Gotta have their nimics.
Yeah, is... It's W-K-A-L. Ekal? Maybe?
Sure.
Well, however you pronounce it. He seeks to wreak havoc by spreading lies and driving Nirn's inhabitants to distrust and betrayal. He's basically like an internet troll. Ekal can be summoned by cultists to perform a specific ritual. They smother themselves with mustard. Oh, wait, no, that's not what that says. It involves lighting four braziers, slaying a human sacrifice, and speaking his true name. The caveat is that the sacrifice must be dead when Ekal arrives, or he will be summoned in a weakened state, slathered in mustard.
Yeah, see, that's where it gets bad. Mm-hmm.
He was slain by the Vestige in the second era, 582, so, of course, ESO timeline.
Us.
After the Supernal Dreamers. That's how you pronounce that word, called him to Tamriel. The omen of betrayal has been encountered by mortals across Tamriel during the first and second eras. The inhabitants of Somerset knew it as, I love all these different names, the Grey Sleep. The Argonians referred to it as the Egg Terror, and the orcs called it the Visiting Breton, which sounds like... Sounds like oh no, I've got the flu again. Yep, the old visiting Breton came back. Like,
So I got hung up on the egg terror. Uh-huh. Where I just picture like they hired somebody at like a breakfast diner and they're just really bad. So they're like trying to do tricks while making breakfast and there's just eggs getting ruined everywhere. That's like all I picture with the egg terror is just somebody really bad at breakfast.
Yeah.
Like, I did not take that in a actually threatening form. It's just right. Like immediately like, oh, okay, so that's like a joke on somebody who's just really bad at like managing eggs.
Yeah, why are my scrambled eggs so wet? What are you doing?
Oh, just a block of cheese in the middle unmelted.
Cook it a little bit longer, please. It was also responsible for the obsessions plaguing Gvadin? And desecration of Azura's shrine. Yeah, so I'd have to go play through that stuff again and hear the way they pronounce the names because I don't remember. But
I would forget instantly like I usually do.
Yeah, yeah. So omens show up in other places as well. We don't need to go through all the details. But it's a really cool concept of this idea of it's not a ghost. It's like a dream spirit that it imbues a shape or form that is particularly terrifying to the person. They can also be summoned.
Right. That's the weird thing, is that they're not so, like, they can become like corporeal, which is freaky, because you can like actually interact and fight with them out, like they start in dreams, and much like a lot of the weird shit with Vermina, we haven't delved as much with her in a lot of situations.
Yeah. Yeah. She's one of the lesser talked about.
Yeah. She's definitely less explored in the series. But at the same time, like, she seems more threatening to your like mental state a lot of times than like the physical state.
Yeah.
Which matches with omens. But then if like omens kind of become like something tangible, then it's like, okay, well, now it's freaking you out and also could have like a real lasting impact, or it could like, I don't know, slay you in your dream or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's like these things are, it's kind of interesting because you brought up the Freddy Krueger joke like earlier. It kind of is. It's like a whole, like, instead of the one character for a horror series, it's like, no, this is a style of creature that exists. Like, these are things like that just can exist.
They haunt your dreams, but the dreams end up being way more real, or they end up being way more real. Yeah, and horrifying. And then you can actually fight them, which happens in Freddy Krueger movies, right? So
yeah, so it's like, no, it's like a whole, it's a whole genre of creature kind of spawned on the idea of the basis of like Freddy Krueger from, what is it, Nightmare on Elm Street? Is that
Nightmare
that
on Elm Street? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, those movies go way back.
They sure do.
Yes.
It's like the year I was born or something.
Yeah, like I remember as a kid in elementary school, people talking about them and like in the 80s. I'm ancient, everybody. So that's omens. These are cool. They only show up in ESO. They don't show up in the other games. Another one of those creatures, or here, I'm going to put some pictures up while we finish talking about them. They basically look like other things.
So kind of your point, they only show up like that you fight in ESO, but it's one of those things where when you ever deal with Vermina, I always wonder if like ESO has kind of defined what an omen was, but like you always have like those weird hints of like some of the stories involving Vermina of these like things that are driving people mad and stuff like that. I always wonder if some of those are omens and they just never gave them a classification until ESO.
Maybe they decided to solidify the concept.
It's like, all right, let's actually give it a name as opposed to just, yeah, this is one of the horrific things she comes up with. So,
right. Yeah. I hope we get more of these in the next Elder Scrolls. I think, you know, having dream stuff is always cool. You know, like when you get vampirism and you start having the weird dreams and like an oblivion, that knocked my socks off back in the day. I was just like, holy crap, what is happening to me? What are these dreams? In fact, I saw a post on Reddit recently where somebody's like, hey, I decided to jump in Oblivion. Everyone says it's a good game. What are these weird messages I get when I go to sleep? And like, oh, man. Oh, boy. That's so great that still works today.
Yep.
And people are like, what is this? What does it mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a cool concept.
Yeah. So dream stuff, omens, we want more of it. All right, let's move on. The next creature. Okay, so this is a very specific kind of scamp called a pariah scamp. I don't have any images. I tried searching for images. I didn't find any good ones that I wanted to put up on screen. Yeah. So pariah scamps are tiny daedra from Malakath's ash pit, described as small, black, foul smelling homunculi. So you might be wondering, what is a homunculi? A homunculus are strange beings created by a high level wizard who has somehow combined the properties of certain spells with parts of various demons. This concept goes back to Arena. You can tell because they use the word demons instead of Daedra. They are therefore a type of golem. These creatures are often set to guard areas using their ability to fly, to patrol corridors. Imps are theorized to be creatures of similar origin. In one account of Vivek's birth, Sothasil was said to have commanded multitudes of homunculi, which is kind of cool, but also isn't that kind of moving more towards the automaton, like the little robot things, than being actual summoned demons? I think some of that lore has probably shifted over time. You have any thoughts on that, Lotus?
Yeah, well, I do agree. I think some of the lore is like, this is formed out of something, obviously, like you mentioned, dating back to like the Arena, like Elder Scrolls 1 type of thing. But the other thing that is interesting from some of these homunculi and homunculuses, which now that like we're kind of diving into it, I never really put a lot of thought into the dungeon specifically, but now it's kind of like, what's up with that? If you actually play Elder Scrolls Online, there are homunculus in some of the areas. Very specifically, if you're doing Moongrave Fane, the dungeon from the Elsewhere year, the Season of the Dragon. And yeah, I don't really understand why they're there.
Yeah, somebody must have summoned them. I would imagine a high, you know, skilled wizard could be a Daedra also. Like, it doesn't have to be immortal. And that would track. This goes on and says, they possess, speaking of the pariah scamp, they possess a unique power known as pariah's vision diversion, which causes mortals to not notice them because they look everywhere the scamps aren't. It's like when I'm trying to find that other sock. A mortal can temporarily gain this power by eating a pariah scamp. Blah! Have you ever wanted to taste a scamp before? I haven't, but maybe
scamp
somebody
meat not high on my list of things to eat.
No. It goes on. The magic used to summon them it's too gamey is fairly unreliable. Scrolls prepared for the summons must be used within a day of inscription. There's like a time limit on the scroll. The binding is also volatile and subject to etheric decay. The scamps can apparently be summoned in a dormant state, which is useful for those looking to store them until they need to eat one. Pariah scamps should be stored deep underground and far away from each other as a precaution to prevent their proximity to one another from awakening them. What? You can summon these and then store them and then eat them later?
I don't know how I feel about eating all of these.
This is great. Like, in a, man, this is gross kind of way, right?
It's certainly gross. I just, what do you do? Like, you just ram a spit in it and like roast it on an open fire?
I suppose. Nah, I mean, man. It's like a fleshy, I mean, it's a scamp. It's like a little creature. You'd probably cook it. I don't know if you have to eat the whole thing. That seems like a lot. Scamps are fairly big. Scamps are like the size of like 5-year-olds, right? Like, you wouldn't eat, well, for more than one reason, you wouldn't eat a 5-year-old, but I hope you won't eat a 5-year-old, but like a physical body that's like, you know, I don't know, 30, 40 pound thing. Like, that's a lot to eat, right?
Yeah. So, yes, it would be. But like, do you eat the bones of these things?
Probably not. Just the,
like, is it like a soft shelled crab?
Just like the fleshy bits, maybe? I don't know. It's pretty weird. This is a cool, super weird one. I love the weird ones, and this one's definitely out there. I don't know that I have a whole lot else to say about them, but I mean, I guess if you really need the power, you're going to eat weird stuff. I mean, people do all, like, those necromancers are doing all sorts of weird things with undead bodies in order to gain power. So eating a scamp, maybe not as crazy as we might think.
I mean, you eat some gross stuff in the Elder Scrolls, giant toes, literal malachite and ebony.
Right. Yeah, that's weird too.
So, I mean, I don't think the denizens of Tamriel are really all that picky.
That's probably true. I bet Argonians are better at digesting certain things than other races too, you know, or Argonians or Khajiit, maybe. I mean, don't cats and lizards typically have slightly different digestive tracts? And so they eat
things. That's true. Like, snakes just
Gulp the whole thing. Yeah. So
it's maybe a technical term, gulp the whole thing. You're supposed to eat it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. All right. Well, that's pariah scamp. Time to move on to other stuff. But first, we have to go thank our patrons. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, this is a place that has high-quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show, and we've got a new patron to welcome, Caffeine Dodo. Welcome to the Patreon. Thank you for joining us. Oh, wait, no, you're one of the free tier. What's it? Patreon's doing this weird thing where they have like a free tier now.
I don't understand any of this.
Yeah, it's weird. Like people sign up and now there's like a free tier. And then sometimes when people sign up, they like, I guess this one counts as they signed up on December 11th on our second tier. And they are now currently free tier. But I think, but since they paid for that tier, they're still, at least for this month, a paying patron. So technically you count. So welcome to the Patreon. Maybe if they sign up for the second month and they move from the free tier, I don't know. Patreon's doing weird stuff. But welcome to the Patreon. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you are supporting the show. And we have to shout out our Daedric Princes, Belli Paratus, Kira C, and Sheogorath Sweetroll. Thank you so much for your support, and to all 111 of our current pledging patrons. You can go to the Patreon. You can head over to patreon.com/ElderScrollsLorecast, check everything up, and sign up for free. And that way, if you want to get notifications and things, if ever I decide to roll stuff out that way, you can be notified of stuff. Or if you decide 1 month to be like, oh, I want to start contributing because I want to get those t-shirts or the stickers or the ad-free episodes or joining us on a patron chat, any of that stuff, that's where you go check it out. Speaking of patron chats, this month's a little crazy, but don't worry, because Thursday, the last Thursday of the month, when our patron chat usually happens and falls on the 28th, which is not a crazy holiday day, we're still going to have our regular patron chat on that day. So that's coming up. You still have time to sign up for that if you'd like to. And thank you to everybody for your support. Also, if you want to rate the show, give us a 5-star rating on Spotify. That would be great. On Apple Podcasts, we'll read out your rating and your review and anything else that you listen to us on. All of that is extremely helpful. So thank you for being here, everyone. Let's move on with the rest of the show.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, so we're back, and we have two more Daedric creatures. This one would have been good to cover back in October, but it didn't come up on the list yet. So we're covering it now. The Pumpkin Spectre. This is another ESO-only kind of Daedric creature. The Pumpkin Spectres are humanoid pumpkin creatures native to the demiplane of Detritus. Detritus. I love that word.
Yep.
The idea of just like things that fall off things.
Is ridiculous. It's literally just like garbage town.
Detritus. That's what Detritus means.
It's basically literally just trash town, like trash town, the demi realm. Like
visions of these nightmarish beings are summoned by hedge wizards during the Witches Festival, a holiday that takes place on the 13th of Frostfall each year. Every time I see the term hedge wizard, I get this picture of like, you know, like the big hedges in like the UK. Places like, okay. Like, yeah, English, like the hedge lines that go along the sides of the roads, and they're big thick bushes and stuff.
Yeah, just hedge mazes everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's everything in the UK is just hedge mazes at this point.
Yes,
that's my headcanon. But I get this picture in my mind of like
your hedge cannon. Sorry,
yeah, my hedge cannon. I get this picture in my mind of like wizards like peeking out of like the greenery, like poking their heads out and casting magic spells, and then hiding back behind, kind of like Homer Simpson going into the bush.
He's backing slowly into the shrub.
Yeah, in my head, that's what hedge wizard is.
All right, you know what? You just add a little wizard hat to Homer in that situation. Boom, done.
Hedge wizard. Yeah,
hedge wizard.
Anyway, there's more about pumpkin specters. Hollowjack, who we've talked about before.
Yep.
We did a whole episode on Hollowjack a few holidays ago.
Speaking of demi princes and demi planes.
Yeah. Hollowjack is a pumpkin specter and a Daedra lord who rules over Detritus, although it is unknown if all pumpkin specters are Daedra. Hollowjack sometimes summons these creatures to Tamriel during the Witches' Festival to torment mortals, because of course he does. So,
typical Saturday for Daedra princes. Right.
Right. I'm putting the picture up on the screen if anybody needs to see what
that's fine.
One of these guys looks like.
So Hollowjack is fine in and of itself. Like I think Hollowjack was an interesting addition to the series. Like that's fine. Without sounding incredibly mean, these things are super dumb to me.
They're clearly a like, how do we do something that's kind of Halloween-y and
put it in the cave? This seems less to fit, in my opinion, personally. I think this is just, these are a little too dopey for my liking. I'm just like, okay, so this is just tacked on to kind of match the holiday. Whereas like having a prince, like, okay, he's got like a pumpkin specter, like form to him. Okay, that's fine. And it's like, you know, they've gave him his own Daedric demi plane and stuff. That didn't bother me, but like the idea that there's more of, like, there's a bunch of them and they're all like sort of, to me, I'm just like, okay, these are ridiculous. Like these seem really goofy to me.
Yeah. If we can have like pumpkin specters, then where are the onion specters?
Right. Why? Where are the strawberry troops? Like, I don't know. To me, this is just like, I would be fine if we don't really see anything else related to these going forward. These are pretty dopey to me.
Or vegetable monsters in general.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd take a pass. We can keep those in like Banjo-Kazooie.
Wait, is a pumpkin? Pumpkin's a fruit? It's a fruit, right?
No, it'd be a vegetable.
Is
right?
it a vegetable?
Oh, boy.
It has seeds on the inside.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I think it might be a fruit. Revelations. Wow. All right, you look that up. I'm going to move to the next one. We got one more. This one's really cool. Ruinax. Or Runox? How do you pronounce this, Lotus?
I think it's... Yes, a pumpkin is a fruit.
Pumpkin's a fruit!
You're right.
I'm right. Pumpkin's a fruit. It's a fruit.
Although it's often referred to as a vegetable, scientifically speaking, anything that starts from a flower is botanically a fruit.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and usually the seeds are on the inside. Yep. It's a fruit. All right. So
Runox.
Ax. With a hard K, even though it's CH.
Yeah, hard K. Runark.
No, there's no R. There's Runark.
Runark.
Runok. Runok?
Runok. How I remember them pronouncing it when we saw these things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. Runak is what I would pronounce it based on how it's spelled. But yeah.
When in doubt, always pronounce things in the most American way possible. Runax. Runax are a race of four-armed Daedra.
No.
Would people still listen to the show if that was my natural voice?
I wouldn't.
All right. Got it. They're four-armed Daedra that serve as Mehrunes Dagon's elite marauders. They are considered the sword and the voice of Dagon and have come to refer to themselves as the fifth hand of Mehrunes Dagon, which is weird because they still only have four hands.
They just look like mini Dagons.
They're like mini Dagons. They are fanatical followers of their lord and believe themselves an extension of his will. Indeed, as the physical manifestation of Dagon's fiery malevolence, they share their lord's destructive tendencies, and although they are unintelligent, they make up for it in brutish strength, like so many other wonderful kinds of creatures that we've seen so far.
Right? I just like how it's like, well, they're not technically intelligent, but they'll beat the crap out of you. It's like, oh, is that the trade-off? Like,
yeah,
it's all right.
Yeah, that makes up for it. Well, I'm not very smart, but I'm really angry and strong.
Yeah, I'm really angry and I will destroy you. It's like, all right, give him what he wants.
Cool.
Cool, neat.
Cool, thanks for coming.
Appreciate you.
Maybe don't come back. So they have got this interesting genesis. In the first era, 2920, the Scoffington Coven of Hyrok took in an exiled Dunmeri woman named Turala, the former lover of the Duke of Mournhold, Brindisi Dorum. However, after a trip to Wayrest, the Scoffington Coven was massacred by an orcish raiding party. Turala was falsely led to believe that the massacre was the work of assassins sent by Brindisi Dorum himself. Enraged, the witch called forth the Prince of Destruction to destroy Mournhold and slay her former lover. And he complied. During the carnage, Almalexia and Sothisil arrived to stop the prince. We've talked about this previously when we talked about Almalexia and Sothisil. The battlefield was lit by a barrage of flame which fell indiscriminately. Almalexia plunged Hope's Fire into Dagon's flesh and carved him from within. Meanwhile, Sothisil enacted vengeance for Ald Sotha, or Sotha, used, quote, God bronze whips to lash the prince into submission. Wounded, Syl allegedly whispered Dagon's Nimic, and the prince exploded throughout all time. This is like crazy stuff we've talked about previously. It's very Kirkbridean. It's wonderful. The Clockwork Apostles believe that this battle between Mehrunes Dagon and the Tribunal marked the birth of Sarmisonisum ghoul things.
Nothing to help you on that.
That
one
is a crazy word. Sarmisonisms, ghoul things, something like that, which emerged from Dagon's own flayed skin. The kin see this as nothing more than inane blunder. So what this is all saying is basically Ruinax came out of Mehrunes Dagon himself. They were like part of his flesh that was removed or emerged during this conflict. It's kind of crazy. They look like little Dagons, so I guess that
literally
makes sense.
Like that was only sort of a joke. They're like miniaturized Dagons. Like they really are,
right? Like you wouldn't want one of these guys running around in your neighborhood
unless he was like guarding your house.
I mean, if he was a friendly one, maybe. Yeah. Or if you were playing basketball, I bet those extra arms would be useful.
Or it's just going to commit a ton of fouls.
Maybe, yeah, that's probably true, because they're kind of dumb and just angry.
They did mention that they're mostly brutish strength, so.
Yeah, yeah. Football. They'd be good at football.
Yeah.
American football. Yeah. Not actual, like, European football, like regular football for the rest of the world. Well. Rugby, possibly, as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Volleyball, they got extra arms.
Yeah. Really weird tangent, even for us.
Yeah. But, yeah, they're kind of crazy looking. Put it back up on the screen. Yeah, just like a little mini Dagon type guy.
Yeah.
There's a few other images here. They, you know, they've got that, like, reddish to grayish skin. The metal and the extra weapons, they're very Daedra, but also
yeah, some
really
of them are a little less reddish than others. Some of them look a lot like Dagon, but it's also weird because depending upon where you find them, like if you're in a like relatively reddish, rustish environment, I feel like that might also just make it look like they're redder than they actually are. Like maybe they're all just kind of like brownish tinted type of thing with like a reddish hue, like a rusty type of color, but at the same time, like, oh well, yeah, depending upon the lighting, they look like different because you fight a lot of them in the Deadlands, or yeah. there's another one you fight in the Dread Cellar and stuff
all
like
the lighting
that.
In
like,
the Deadlands, certain parts of the Deadlands is just red. It's like this
it
red.
Tends to be very,
it's like
very red.
It's like my lights in my room right now. If I turn off my actual lamp and then like everything's just like red, like
you're
all of a sudden, look, I'm a runic.
Exactly. You're two armed runic.
Oh no, I hit the wrong button. Now my lights are changing colors. Oh no.
Now you're Storm Atronach.
I'm a storm. Oh no, I'm gonna find the setting again. All right. So, any other thoughts on this one?
No, I mean they're kind of an. This one was a kind of an interesting addition to the series for the most part. But they kind of become like we've mentioned with a couple of these creatures that have been added via the MMO. They're not bad. It's not that I dislike them, but they kind of just become rank and file enemies to give you something to fight. Yeah, right. There's a couple of them that are bosses, but a lot of them, it's just like they're kind of just out there. There is, however, just because it's sort of relevant to the current content in Elder Scrolls Online, the renamed Endless Archive to Infinite Archive, which we won't get into here. There is an obnoxious boss in there. It's one of the raiders. It's a runarch and he cheats. And
he's not just fun. A cheater.
He just cheats. He'll just hit you from like infinity range and he's super bogus. I don't like him. Okay. The most recent incarnation of a runic that I don't like.
Yeah. How do you really feel? They're kind of also Goro-esque.
They're a pretty good like rank and file enemy for the most part, I think, that adds to the series.
Yeah. They're kind of Goro-esque in that like Mortal Kombat kind of way.
Goro-esque. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They are Goro-esque.
With extra like horns and stuff on their heads.
Sure,
also,
but still.
Also, how do they lay down and get comfortable to sleep? I mean, it's hard enough sometimes to get comfortable with like two arms, and like you got to put them in a certain spot. If you're laying on your side, kind of get in the way, right? But like, I mean, they must just sleep on their backs.
I'm thinking like a horse or a cow. He just sleeps and his arms just slump down, but he's standing up still.
They just sleep standing?
Yep.
That's how dumb they are. They're like, tired. They just slump down. Over. Yeah. Oh, all right.
That's my thought on them is they just kind of look like they power down a little bit.
Or they just squat. They just like squat like a toddler. You know how toddlers can just like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Their legs are so bendy that they can just like squat down in one spot.
Their legs are so bendy.
They are. Like little kids are very flexible. They do this thing where they just squat down and they can just kind of like they look super comfy and they just like one little spot, right? Maybe that's anyway. This is we've had some weird tangents today.
This has had more weird tangents than we usually have, but a couple of these were a little strange.
They were strange, and I hope you enjoy our tangents because hey, we've made it through another year of content. Basically,
I know, but that's wild.
It's crazy to think about. We're moving into another
ironically,
year of content.
For being through almost another year of content, we're nearly through all of the bestiary at this point. We're to the R's, which is pretty far down the line in that bestiary. I mean, we've got some more to cover. But we are actually almost through the Daedric bestiary, which has been actually a bigger undertaking than when we originally like when you floated the idea to me, it was like, oh yeah, that seems good, and then it's like
this is a lot of stuff.
3 months later, it's like, oh my god, there's so many Daedric creatures.
It's a lot of stuff. Yeah technically we hit a new year in February because that's when the show
when
launched
it kicked
originally.
Off originally,
right? So but we're getting close. It's always close to the beginning of the year, so it always feels sure. like and Fallout started like legit like actually the beginning of the year when I did the Fallout Lorecast, which only launched a month before this show launched. So so fun stuff. We've still got some more Daedric to get to, so we're gonna get through the rest of those. I was brainstorming some other ideas. We never really tackled Tiber Septim.
We could get you. We've got a couple big topics when we finish that we can get into. If you have any suggestions, feel free to let us know too. If you would like us specifically, like, oh, I really wish you guys would talk about that. Sometimes that helps spur us in a direction that we're, ooh, you know what? I didn't think of that. That would be a great thing to like research and cover.
Yeah. I think there's some other big names out there. Tiber Septim is one of them. We've been avoiding
big
him.
Big names or
Tiber Septim is so complex. Like the complexity is.
And that's some of the events in the timeline could be interesting to cover as well, like the warp in the west and stuff like that, which we touched on when we were talking about Dragon Breaks. You know what I mean? Like sometimes events themselves and of it can be useful to dive into because some of them are really convoluted.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. So, yeah, we'll be tackling all sorts of stuff this upcoming year. Rob is suggesting the Mage, the Thief, and the Warrior. That one was covered. Yeah, I think I covered that on a really early episode, just kind of
was
briefly.
But yeah, I was going to say, was that super early?
That was super early, and it wasn't covered in a, not in depth. You're saying, like, in depth. Yeah, I didn't cover it in depth.
An actual one.
I've referred to it more than I've actually, like, discussed it and, like, covered it.
Sure.
So that's a fun concept. Yeah, so there's a lot. There's a lot we covered. Yeah. So, yeah, please let us know. Jump on the Discord. Send us some thoughts. We'll put things in a list.
As we near toward the end of the Daedric Bestiary.
Yeah, yeah. There's all sorts of fun things. And remember, we had a kind of a pre-show conversation about some of the stuff that's going on and has been announced for ESO. So if you're interested in that, I'm going to tack that on to the end of the episode.
Yeah, add it to the end.
So you can listen to that as well. But chat, thank you for being here. Lotus, this has been fun as usual. Do you have anything else you want to share? I know you've been recording other episodes of Tales of Tamriel.
Yeah, we're hopefully recording another one. We're going to tackle some of the stuff that's been going on in ESO / outside ESO into Skyrim and stuff like that, because we had mentioned Skyrim got an update, which was kind of an interesting surprise, but I think it's laying the groundwork for a lot of stuff that they're planning to do with the series and stuff like that. And then we've kind of got that going. And then I've just been trying to get any game time as possible, so I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off as of late. So
nice.
Yep. Cool, it is what it is.
Yeah, go check out Tales of Tamriel. If you're looking for other content, I of course have a bunch of other shows. If you've been playing Fallout and Starfield, other Bethesda games, I've got Lorecasts about those. And of course, Lord of the Rings and Mass Effect. And there's a bunch of other shows on the network as well. RobotsRadio.net for all of that stuff. Thank you for tuning in. I'm so glad that you're here, and thank you for all of your support. Let's wrap this up and move into next week's episode, which, by the way, is I think I mentioned this earlier, is a holiday special. So we're going to have a bunch of other hosts and myself getting together to talk about our favorite things from the year. And then we're on to our patron chat. So that'll wrap up the year. But I hope you have a wonderful holiday for whatever you celebrate. Spend time with your family, your friends, and all that. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.
Price would definitely be a thing to pay attention to for something like this, but more so is like the time required for that type of travel. I'm like,
it's going to be, what is that? 8 hours to get over there, and 8 or 9 hours for me to get over there.
Yeah.
And you and I are on, like, the East Coast. So it would be about the same for you both. You're a little closer technically, because you have to go north, like kind of roughly over the pole.
Right. So it's probably about, like, because when we went to Paris, it was 6.5 hours. Mm-hmm. So it's probably a little longer than that.
But that's still a day of travel. Like,
it's a day of travel, and then, like, obviously, if we're going someplace like that, we would want to stay for a while.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm still, like,
yeah,
between taking classes and, like, trying to switch careers, I'm like, I'm not sure I can just, like, F off for a week.
Yeah. Like,
that doesn't seem really all that functional, at least it.
Yeah. Well, if you've got a week to take out vacation, it would be a cool vacation to go on.
Right.
If,
exactly.
If you don't or don't have the money, because that's like, I mean, that's at least $1,000 for plane tickets.
Oh, yeah. Just for plane tickets, let alone lodging and anything you're going to do there.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, that looked cool though on their like world tour though was I noticed they're going to Bethesda Poland too, which I always have wanted to go to Poland. So I was like, oh my god, that's like so cool. They're going to like all these awesome places. What the hell?
Maybe you should just get a job with them
right
as part of their marketing team, and then you just have to go.
Don't get me wrong. I was going to say they are all super nice, but after last year looking, and they seem much more stable than most companies, but Jesus, after looking at last year, I was like, man, if I worked in the game industry, I would just be very uncomfortable all the time.
Because of just potential job layoffs?
Yeah, just because 7,000 people lost their jobs in the industry last year. It's like, that is absolutely insane, being that they had literally record high profits across the board.
Although, if you get a job in marketing for the game industry, let's say you're working with like Gina and her team, right?
Sure.
And let's say ESO, God forbid, doesn't do so good. They got to let some people go. That translates, you know, like I did marketing at a marketing agency. I could probably get a similar marketing job for any company who needs any of the skills that I have. Right.
Sure.
So there is some safety in that. Like, you might lose your job, but you might lose your job in any industry.
In any industry.
The question is, are your skills able to move from one thing to another? And can you jump industries if you need to?
Sure.
When I was working as a box designer, that was absolutely not the case. Because no industry other than packaging needs box designers, right?
Yeah, that's very nuanced.
Yeah, and so like I could say like, well, yeah, I use a CAD program, but even that's different depending on what kind of thing you're using the CAD program for. It's not the ability to use the program, it's the ability to do things in the program that's important.
So sure.
That's like saying like, I can make a spreadsheet, and it's like, well, yeah, but are you making a spreadsheet to, you know, lay out the ingredients on a recipe, or to actually do like, the math of how to do payroll for your business? Like, those are two, like, just because they both use spreadsheets it's not the same thing.
Right. That's fair.
So, but anyway, I think you should work at a game company. That would be amazing.
I know. So many people have said that. They're like, why don't you do it? They were like, you fucking know everybody anyways. It was like, yeah. I was like,
you're very social.
True.
You're very social. Like, you can get in on like community, social media manager type stuff.
Yeah. I was going to say, no, it's definitely an interesting idea, just because like.
And then you can just go to those events for free because you have to work from them.
It's a work expense.
Right.
Because I was going to say, the new one, I'm sure this is going to be. I'm very curious what the big announcement is going to be, because they always have something, and they gave me everything this last year except crossplay and cross save. Hey, Rob.
Yeah. Hey, Rob. All right. So what do you think the big announcement is going to be for ESO? Off top of your head, first idea.
I think they finally, I've said it for the last 4 years, but like, I think they finally figured out cross save, not cross play. I think they figured out cross save.
So people can migrate from one system to another system.
You're allowed to have a master file that can move from thing to thing.
Yeah. That would be wonderful.
Which a lot of people
player models get bigger butts. The butts aren't big enough already.
Nah, that's fine.
I mean, depends on the race. Some of the races got some,
I'm going to let it play out.
Got some good booty on them.
Because the biggest thing is they've said repeatedly, like, we didn't design the game like that. So that's like the biggest holdup. And Sony's a huge pain in the ass because fucking Sony.
Sony is the Apple of the games industry.
Oh, 100%. They're obnoxious. I hate that I enjoy the design of their system so much, because I would rather just play on Xbox, but I just don't like the system as much.
Well, I mean, as long as I can just launch the game, I'm happy. I don't really need to spend a whole lot of time in the menus. But
I guess I'm sort of menu picky. I was like, oh man, these look great type of thing. Like, I just like the console. Well, the console, PS5 looks like a weird alien spaceship thing, but
the actual physical box. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
they're such a pain in the ass. They're such a pain in the ass to everybody. It's so frustrating.
Traditionally, Japanese companies have been great with hardware, terrible with software. And traditionally, American companies have been great with software, terrible with hardware. Right. So if they could combine their powers.
Their forces into one mega monopoly. Wait,
that's a terrible idea. Okay, let's not do that.
That's not better.
That's a bad idea. All right. Well, maybe that doesn't solve it. All right. So you think cross-save.
I'm thinking they finally mastered cross save, because despite what everybody keeps saying, including the devs, they are lagging behind at this point. Literally every other game that says we didn't design our game to have that and it's totally impossible has added cross save at this point, except ESO.
It's possible.
They're literally the only one.
The question is, how much manpower do you put into it in order to achieve it, right?
I don't know.
But here's the other thing. If they can add cross save, adding cross play also, if you can get all of that to work together, would be so much bigger. I mean, think about how many people
would... I think cross play would be great, but there's a reason that I say cross save, not cross play. Mm-hmm. And as much as PC people hate to hear it, it's because of the add-ons. Like, they're going to cause too many problems for anybody who just runs the game normally. Because I got into some like technical stuff with a couple modders and stuff like that, and they're like, the majority of ESO problems are actually add-ons, and people just don't want to admit that. Well,
what if there was cross-play between consoles and PC was still siloed?
Oh, like an Xbox and PS. Yeah. That would be great.
Because think about it.
It'd be lame to leave out PC because like, I have so many friends on PC that I would love to just like.
That's true.
That's mainly my thing. I don't actually care about playing on PC. I care about playing with my friends on Xbox and on PC that I don't get to play with as much.
Yeah. And I guess.
And I don't know like, if from that's a huge demographic.
From a PvP standpoint, do any add-ons really give you a huge benefit?
Yes. Some have had to forcibly be removed by Bethesda because they're so bad.
Right. But if that's the case, then maybe you just cut out certain... Like
I wouldn't have a problem on the subject, or I'm like they should just take add-ons out of the game and like sanction them.
I like add-ons. I wouldn't have a problem if you and I were doing dungeons together, and I was on PlayStation and you were on PC, and we're on the same team. I have no problem with you using an add-on.
That's my thing. I don't care if other
what's
people
the point? Like what the if it helps you perform better in my dungeon.
Yeah, cool. That's fine.
That's great. Like, or if it gives you data that I just don't happen to have, now at least I can ask you about that data, right?
Sure. And that's something that like a lot of people seem to take like, I think add-ons are bad. And I think add-ons have a bunch of problems, but they also lead to some interesting innovations that the game has added to base game because of them.
Right. But it's the same thing in like World of Warcraft and other
100%. MMOs. Like that's awesome. Like that's really good. I like that.
Yeah.
And if you're on my team, like PvP, okay, it's a little dicey, but PvP, as much as people don't want to, is a pretty afterthought in ESO. Like,
It's the smallest demographic of players.
It's easily the smallest demographic, even over trials at this point. Like, but like, if we're in stuff, like, I don't care if that your game's fine. Like, as long as your add-ons aren't literally changing how I'm playing the game, I don't care.
It's totally
like,
fine.
Do whatever you want, man. Like, it's a game.
I don't see that as an issue at all. And you could code it into the game where when you join a PvP match or Cyrodiil, add-ons turn off.
Sure. Oh, that'd be interesting.
You could code that in.
Supposedly, this is weird tangents just before we actually start the show.
Right.
The other thing from some of my friends that play Final Fantasy 14, and actually Ben could probably give more insight on this, but apparently there are like ways when you play, because that game's been cross play from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Apparently you can just be like, yeah, no, ours is like, we have add-on restrictions. You either can't use add-ons or you have to use add-ons.
Right.
Like, so if you're on console, it's like, well, no, this is a PC only group because it doesn't allow that.
Sure.
And it's like, if I'm trying to play with my friends, we're not going to be excluding each other.
Right.
Like,
so you turn it off.
Like,
so
I don't care if somebody's like, oh, you're not good enough. Spoiler alert, you hear that on your same platform all the time. That's why I started my own raid team. I was like, I'm tired of some of my friends being told they're not good enough to be on raid teams.
Right.
As we stack trifectas up, I was like, oh, tell them again how they're not good enough because now they have all these things. They clearly were fine. You just weren't giving them a chance. That's stupid.
Yeah. And if you use them like looking for dungeon or whatever, then you have it like label that says add-ons allowed or add-ons restricted.
Allowed, add-ons and then, not allowed. And that's totally
and it
like
codes
fine.
Into the
like,
game. If you're on PC, it turns off your add-ons when you join because
again,
there's
options.
A whole section in the game for add-ons, like it's part of the menu system.
So that's actually why. So reasoning, I think some of the group finder is and the server testing, because they did another PvP testing thing, and all the upgrades are trying to get finished and stuff like that. I feel like this is a behind the scenes architecture thing that they've been working on,
yeah,
and we finally hear about it because that would be a monumental announcement. And it's like, okay, for a 10-year anniversary, that's a pretty massive game changer.
Yeah,
like,
and they've been cleaning stuff up for a long time. The addition of a new class is part of that. This all seems like it's all kind of going in the same direction of like updating the code and making things work so they can keep the game going. Because God knows, like, they're going to want to, they want another 10 years out of this game if they can get it. Of course they do.
And not a lot of games reach a decade. That is wild.
Right. Yeah. And so MMOs can last 20 years. Look at World of Warcraft.
Right. And that's, so that's kind of my it's pie possible. In the sky. Like, I, because the other joke, obviously, being that they gave me literally everything else I asked for this year in the year of Lotus. So that's the only thing left that I want. So I guess they should just give it to me next year.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we got a show to do.
Yeah,
maybe
we
should actually do a show.
I suppose we should
maybe I'll
the show that we're here for.
Maybe I'll leave this part in the episode and we'll just.
It's just incoherent rambling. Just add it at the end.
Right. Right. All right. Well, here, let's kick us up. Thanks for being here, everybody. Let's do a show.